You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
All right, y'all. Welcome to the first ever inaugural episode of the Preppy Pop. The Preppy Pimpin' Podcast. I'm in here. We'd have had some libations before we got started with everything, just to kind of ease everyone into this. I'm your host, Brian. I'm here with my co-host as well as some of our guests today. And really just wanted to give a little background as to the podcast and what we represent. So Preppy Pimpin' is a lifestyle podcast, really just me and my co-host Doug being able to share our thoughts and really able to just let people know what we think on various topics.
Oh, I'm the man, the myth, the legend himself, Douglas Crockett. What up, though?
Ladies, you want to introduce yourself?
All right, we're special guests, Taylor McCree
and Jasmine Bird.
All right, awesome. Well, you know, special shouts out to the special guests here. Definitely thank y'all for gracing us with this. Now, really to start things off, within the name is Preppy Pimpin'. And one thing I feel is that people always associate pimpin' with, ladies and, getting money. And that's definitely one part of it, for sure. But it also has kind of evolved in and of itself to being so much more than that, to where someone's like a fly. It's like, yo, it's pimpin', man.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, wanted to kind of do a different twist on kind of the traditional pimp sense of actually being able to talk about millennials and dating, and as it relates to us being millennials and us in different various stages of a relationship, being able to come together and just have a conversation and let people know from a millennial's perspective what's good with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I was actually doing some research before this, and I was watching this documentary on Netflix. It was about this guy who was 40 years old, and bro was out here ghosting on girls that was like 25. I was doing some more research just about ghosting, but then even really about love. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about.
What was your research on love?
It was inconclusive. I'll put it to you that way. I think it's definitely something that it means a lot of things for other people. I love tacos, but am I trying to get married to tacos? I think it'd be a messy wedding night. You know what I'm saying? What do y'all think?
Well, here's the thing. I think the first question really becomes, what is your definition of love? And to you, is love an emotion or is love a choice?
All right. Yeah, I think for myself, I think love is an emotion.
And I think that it resonates with a lot of millennials, is that it is an emotion, but also what you have to understand is that love is a choice. Love Absolutely. Is sacrifice. And a lot of people aren't willing to sacrifice a lot of who they were to become one with somebody they want to be with, for the rest of their life. And I think that's where a lot of confusion comes in, because emotions change on a daily. Mm-hmm. And, one day you may feel lovey-dovey, and the next, you want to be shut out to the world, and people don't know how to respond to those different emotional changes. So I think when people, they rely on that love as an emotion, that's when people are not sustaining in relationships, and they don't know how to make continuous decisions on how you can work something out, because they base it solely on that emotion. You know what I'm saying?
And I would completely agree with her. I think the other aspect to think about is, when you look at marriage, every day that you wake up, you're choosing to be with that person. So at the end of the day, I don't feel like there's some perfect person for you and it's this perfect magical thing, because that doesn't exist. I think that every day that you wake up and you look at somebody, you're choosing to be with that person. I could hate you that same day, but at the end of the day, I'm choosing to be there and actively in this relationship.
It's a commitment, and there are commitment issues. We live in an instantaneous generation. If we don't get that
instantaneous,
if we don't get that satisfaction right away, then we're done with it. And a lot of people aren't willing to stick out through the hard times.
Like,
and
nope.
if you don't make me feel good throughout the day, in that
then you
moment,
should go away.
You know what I'm saying? They're ready to throw it away. So when you look at marriage and you just look at the divorce rate, I don't know what it is, but it is pretty high.
I think it's like 60% now.
Yeah, pretty high. When you think about,
that was going up. I thought it was only just like 50.
Nah, it's like 60%. Yeah, like 50 was like maybe like a year or two ago, yeah. But it's about 60% now. Yeah,
yo, I was saying earlier than my time.
So wait, because nobody knows what you were saying earlier. So what were you saying earlier?
I was talking about my personal perspective on marriage, and that is just, I think it's more so just a title and paperwork when you're just going through the process of, you know, setting up the, you know, the wedding reception, you know, just setting up the wedding itself. And with me, I feel that you could be with someone for the long run and not have to have all the paperwork attached to it. But y'all did bring up a good point about the legal aspect of marriage and how, in a sense, it is a business. And say you are in a position where, you know, you have to make a decision for your life partner that, you know, they might be in.
They need to be on life support. Yeah. Do we pull the plug? You can't make that decision if you are not legally binded as a unit.
Absolutely. Because at that point, y'all strangers.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't have a legal document attaching myself to you, you a stranger.
Because your parents, the one that you haven't lived with in years, have to make a decision.
And they don't know anything about you.
We could have had that conversation last night or, you know, the week before on, okay, if this was to happen, this is what I want us to do. And a lot of people, you know, in most relationships, there's a lot of pillow talk that goes on. Pillow talk.
No, wait, what's your definition of pillow talk, Doug? Because you got a little happy about that one.
Nah, I mean, like, based on what Taylor was saying, just like, I feel like that's just, you know, just doing a bunch of just gassing up your significant other, saying, you know, I'm gonna be on this, I'm gonna be doing this and that.
But that sounds like foreplay.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like pillow talk.
Pillow talk is after when you're like,
we're gonna take over the world. Not in the sexual aspect, though. Not in the sexual aspect. Just like, you know, saying, oh, I'm a B type, but you know, it's gonna be doing this.
I'm gonna be with you forever.
But I think
pillow talk is a very vulnerable state where you allow yourself. You know, when you think of, you know, when you're laying down, you are, you know, naked in a sense where you are your true self. Because when you go to bed, you're not all dressed up. You know, you're not what
you...
You got your scarf on.
Your do-rag.
You know what I'm saying? You might have the little face mask on. You getting prepared to, you know, go into the next day and portray who you want people to think you are. But when you're in, you know, when you in bed, you relax. You know, you are your true self. So I think with, like, pillow talk, that is conversation where you really unwind your mind and where you allow yourself to really open up of the day. You know what I'm saying? Things that you've experienced. This is how I really feel about this.
And if,
you know what I'm saying? If this was to happen, I think, you know, say if I was to be put in a situation where I'm in the hospital, no, I don't want to be a vegetable. I don't want to be on life support for months on end just to be end up to pull the plug. If there was ever a situation, I know it may be hard, but look, if the doctors come to you and say, is no chance of her coming back, pull that plug. You know, it's no need to prolong the suffering. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't ever want to be in a position where I want to suffer. And I'm going to communicate that with my significant other. Not with my parents. You know, because at the end of the day, they want their, you know, no parent wants to bury their child. Mm-hmm. So their automatic thought, no, we're going to keep this as long as we can, keep her as long as we can. But if I tell my significant other, no. If it's ever a situation where they come to you and say, it's no chance, let me go, because I don't ever want to suffer and I don't want to put my loved ones through a situation where, you know, they have to take away from their own lives. And, you know, I guess that's just me being unselfish in a way. You know, I don't want to take away from you living your life to take care of me who can't do anything.
You know, and I ain't gonna lie too, like, with my just like how I've grown up, just I've seen just so many people close to me, you know, be in long-term relationships, be in marriages or whatnot, and just they'll be together, you know, 10 plus years or whatnot, then all of a sudden it just fizzles out like they want, you know, together all this time. And just seeing that so much growing up, I definitely would say that's just kind of just shaped my mindset to where it's at now, to where I'm kind of turned off to marriage.
Most definitely. You're a product of your environment. And on the flip side, in my family, everyone has been married 10 plus years. So I have examples of stability in my family. So, we have two different perspectives, because if I look at it, I've been looking at the same people for 23 years. You know what I'm saying? How I came into this world, that's pretty much how I'm leaving out. I don't know anybody new, because everyone has been there since day one. And so looking at what marriage is, and I think what a lot of people try to portray, especially out on social media, like we talked about earlier, you know, a lot of people want to portray the happy times and, you know, marriage is this just whole wonderful experience. And no, marriage is a lifelong commitment, and people change in different seasons. And I've seen people in my family where they had to go through seasons where, you know, they had to live separately to get themselves together. Did that mean the divorce? No, that means we're in a season right now where we can't be in an environment together. We need to get ourselves together so that we're able to continue to grow. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, they have that commitment issue that they're ready to run at the first sight of trouble. No, they don't know, or they don't have the example, say, such as yourself.
Say
that,
right? She just threw so much shade.
I'm not throwing no shade, but that is really the prime example of what we go through. We're not taught to stay when the going gets tough. We're taught, if it's not working out, let's try something new. You know what I'm saying? We're not okay having that conversation, sitting down, what's wrong with me and what's wrong with you. Every conversation turns into an argument where we can't communicate to figure out what the problem is. And now that we can't find out what the problem was, we created a new problem, because a lot of issues that turn out with conversations is the tone. And tones get so misconstrued, because a lot of times we are talking out of emotion. If we're upset, my tone is going to be a little high pitch. You might take that as me trying to cut you out. You know, I don't want to be here. No, it's my feelings. And you know how I express myself. I already told you, I don't have an indoor voice at all. You know what I'm saying? So whenever I get excited about anything, it's going to
be the same.
You know,
it's the complete same.
It's going to be a little high pitched, but a lot of people don't know how to receive that. You know what I'm saying? So I think it has a lot to do with the environment that you grew up in and the commitment that you're even right. willing to make with yourself. Because you have to understand that you yourself are not perfect. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we try and always, we have a nature where we automatically want to blame somebody else for something not working out, you know, the way we want it. We never take that first step to say, okay, what was it that I did wrong? Have you ever sat down in a situation where something went left and you just talk to yourself? I don't know if you have conversations with myself, but I have conversations with myself all the time.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. Do you ever sit down and say, okay, what was it that I didn't do right? Do you automatically point the finger at the other person, or do you try and self-evaluate?
So, you know, like I was telling you how like I just got out of a 2.5-year relationship. Just getting out of that had me just on like, okay, what was it that I was potentially doing wrong, and what can I do to try to better myself? So if I find myself in another long-term relationship in the near future or whatever, whenever, just how can I have it to where it's not going to end up just falling apart like my last one did? Because things were smooth with with my last relationship for a little bit, but I know one thing that definitely was just like the what helped play a part in the downfall of my relationship was just the lack of communication, and just
communication too,
having a lot of just going on in my head, thinking just whatever. And it may not even be true, but you creating problems in your head
that aren't even there.
Yeah, just having issues that you're not putting on the table and just you just letting it get just bottled up to the point to where you just...
You start having arguments over stuff that's not even relevant.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, say this. Say if you guys' communication were, you know, A1, do you think that you got in a situation too prematurely? Like, do you... Because we had the conversation earlier just to inform the viewers or the listeners, not viewers, because y'all not looking at nothing.
It's all the above. It's all the above.
Yeah. But you said you don't really believe in marriage. So, you know, when I asked you earlier about, you know, the difference between dating and being in a relationship, and I said in a relationship, you're working towards something, and in most cases, that is marriage. So do you feel that even if you guys' communication was at a point where it was healthy, do you think that was a situation that y'all should have even been in the first place?
I would say yes and no, but another thing with me and like how you were saying, you know, just talking to yourself and just trying to discover what it was that, or what it is, should I say, that you're doing, that you were doing wrong, and how can I correct that? I know with me personally, throughout the entire relationship, I definitely was selfish in the sense of I was more so focused on where I'm going in life and not where, well, I was focused on where I was going in life, and it's not that I wouldn't be thinking about the relationship, but I should have kind of had it to where my future and the relationship, they were both number one priority versus having my future and just me the number one priority, and then the relationship, it was second, third priority.
Yeah. Well, just to like piggyback off of that, I think that when you start a relationship when you're a little bit younger and then it matures with you, you know, one of my favorite sayings is that like a tree, if you plant two trees next to each other and you let them grow over a period of time, they'll become intertwined with each other, meaning that you can start a relationship when you're younger and it's perfect, it's beautiful, everything's going smooth, but gradually, you know, you're going to need to have to branch off and do your own thing. So maybe it was an issue where you had that relationship a little too young before you even got to the person you are.
I definitely say that.
I can speak a lot to that. I've been in a relationship for the last 6 years.
Damn.
So we got together when I was really, really young. And so one big thing is, as a woman, I'm definitely not that same person. So in order for us to both be able to grow, you definitely need that space, because there's only so much that you can do as a couple. But there are a lot of things that you have to do on your own. I have to discover who I am as a person by myself before I can actually be in a relationship. You know, it got to a point to where we had even said to each other, like, we can't marry each other as who we are. Because at that point, you're still trying to treat me as if I'm the same 16, 17-year-old when we first started dating, and not as the 23-year-old woman I am now, you know? Mm-hmm. So that plays a big part in looking at a relationship, and especially as millennials, because it's like, if you don't get in a relationship now, well, there's still good options. You ain't really gonna get in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because what's really left now are people that are fuck niggas. You got the hoes, and you got women that are now trying to be men. You know, not in the sex, the type of like dykes and stuff like that, but in terms of
being in control.
If a man can do this, I can do it too. Yeah. But there's a lot of aspects of a man that I will never want to be. I don't want to be like the female version of a womanizer. Those are characteristics of a man that I would not want to personally have.
I couldn't date nobody like that either.
I feel like there's probably some guys out there that would have no problem with that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing.
there's probably some that are all right with that.
And I'll speak a little bit on my experience. So I was in a 2-year relationship, and it got to a point towards the end where it was like, you know, things were kind of routine. You know, I felt like, you know, I was kind of missing out on something. I wasn't sure if this was something that I was supposed to be in for the long haul, or if this was something that was temporary. I'm that type of person. I don't want to wake up 5 years from now and regret where I am or regret what I haven't done. So I think, you know, too, it's really important who you're in a union with. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm so grateful for is, you know, my boyfriend now, he knew that I needed my space to grow. He knew, you know, and I think a lot of times with guys, it's kind of different. Y'all very y'all scared. So when you know for a fact this is a place where you want to be, you're willing to wave out that storm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so I feel like as guys that you know, our whole life we're kind of ingrained to be a certain way. You know what I'm saying? For instance, my idol when I was growing up was Will Smith in the Bad Boy movie. So I'm talking Porsche 911s. I'm talking the condo.
The Gabrielle Union too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
But that was only on part two.
That's true. But in part one, part two, I'm gonna make a part three. But you know, realistically, that's ingrained in us to kind of have that sort of like that machismo, if you will. But then even more so with like social media or even I'm gonna say adult entertainment. We
porn.
Just have, like,
pornography. Right. Let's be real here. You for know, the people who may not know, because, you know.
There could be some children listening to this, you know what I'm saying?
I hope not.
I'm trying to keep it PG here.
I mean, that was PG, pornography.
Pony fucking shut up.
Yeah. All right, since y'all want to get nasty. But, you know, just saying that there is, I feel like for guys, we're kind of constantly shoved that down our throat. So, you know, for myself, when I was younger, I was in a pretty serious relationship. But, you know, at the same time, part of it was maturity, but also what I felt society expected of me. And I was acting crazy. I was wilding out all the time. Now at 25, I have the hindsight to recognize the error of my ways, but it definitely is like a catch 22 because you're trying to, you know, feel what you think society wants you to be, but at the same time, staying true to yourself. And that's something that is very difficult in today's world.
And I think that kind of piggybacks off of a conversation that we've had on our lunch break. Yeah. of just, you know, we get in this idea and this mindset that we have to be something that somebody wants, but we never actually have that conversation and figure out what that person actually wants.
Right.
So we are doing all of these things and putting all of this effort into something that somebody may not actually want or need.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like the communication part comes back to being the key aspect of a relationship. Because if you think about it as millennials, most of us either meet online,
mm-hmm.
We only have conversations through text messages. You know, we don't really actually date. There's no such thing as a courtship anymore.
Yeah.
Social media fucking the game up.
They really are. And what the older that I've gotten, I absolutely hate phone conversations. Because with me, I have to talk to you one-on-one. I have to see what your expressions are.
Facial expressions.
I need to know what your facial expressions are when I say a certain thing. Because now I know, okay, that kind of ticks you the wrong way. So let me figure out why that ticks you the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, with dating, people kind of go in with a preconceived notion that I need to be or say certain things. And like I said before, I can't be bought. You know what I'm saying? I had a guy that I went out on a date with once, and he preached.
Flex.
You know, you know what though? It wasn't even that he was trying to flex. It was honestly just a thing where he felt like he needed to say and let me know
he had
that
to be a salesman.
He had to be a salesman
to know that
sell
I can
himself.
Have this.
Yeah.
He wanted to tell me that or make me aware that he had a plan to be a certain place. But what he neglected to do was figure out what did I like to do in my spare time.
Acknowledge the woman.
You know, acknowledge me who I am, because that's fine that you have a 15-year plan and all, but what I'm interested in and who I'm interested in is who you are after you come home from working that 15-year plan. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can have that. I have my own 15-year plan. That has nothing to do with you. But at the end of the day, I want to know who am I dealing with. When you come home after a stressful day at work, how can I relieve that stress off of you, or how can I be an asset to where you're trying to go in life? I don't, you know, of course it is important that you have a vision that you're trying to reach towards, but at the end of the day, it's not about what you have and what you can do, but who you are. And I think a lot of people miss that point on, you know, whenever we date, our first question is always, what do you do?
It's the social media aspect.
Yeah.
Relationship goals. Hashtag relationship goals.
Yeah. And nobody really knows what that goal is.
That shit ain't real, dog.
It's not. It's really a figment of our imagination. Because
you can never achieve those goals.
You can never. Because
Realistically. Most people cannot achieve the goals that they see on relationship
Because
goals.
What you do for one person, you may not do for the next. And that's just, people are looking for these rules and standards to follow as a guide to be in a relationship. And that it's not, you can't follow a certain one when you're dealing with human beings, because we change so often. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing that we can just stick to. Okay, you do this when they're doing that. It's, you can't, because like I said before, like when you said that you figure that love is an emotion, emotions change like the drop of a dime. You know what I'm saying? You have to know what to say, how to say it when they're going through certain seasons. And personally with me, I feel like anything can be fixed with a conversation, but a lot of times we don't know how to communicate how we're feeling. We weren't taught, because our parents, you know, at a young age, look, you're a child, stay in a child's place. But then, you know, when you get older and, you know, and are able to be in those conversations, you're taught, okay, you don't know what you're talking about. And nobody ever allowed you to voice your opinion. And then you start to feel as though, you know, your opinion doesn't matter. So you kind of force those opinions on other people, and you want to get your voice heard. So trying to communicate that to somebody who's also doing the same thing, it doesn't kind of cross interact how you expected it to be. And now you're in an argument and you don't even know what you're arguing about.
Brian, I would say, because we haven't heard your aspect on marriage. What's your...
Yeah.
What's your
you believe in marriage?
Right, because you were a little quiet over here.
Yeah, you know, I'm just taking it all in. You know what I'm saying? I'm... you know, really wanted y'all to get y'all thoughts out there. You know, for myself, I believe in marriage and in love. I say that love is a feeling, but as opposed to a choice, because, you know, you can choose to love someone, but unless you actually feel it for them, that's some bullshit. I can choose to wake up and brush my teeth, or I cannot, but I love having fresh breath. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I feel like, you know, when you're actually with someone and like you've got, I hate to use this term because I think it's overused, but the vibe is right of where you're actually really enjoying someone and you get kind of swept up in that. Yeah, that is a feeling, as opposed to like, hey, I'm choosing to really enjoy myself here. But with that said, you know, I feel like to everyone's point that, what we've been exposed to definitely plays a big part in our relationship. So, you know, myself, when it comes to dating, I can always tell when a girl comes from a broken family, you know what I'm saying? I can always tell because of their values on these topics is just so far skewed.
Well, hold on, because I'm going to ask you this. When we met, did you know that I came from a broken family?
No, but at the same time, your parents have gone on to be in other relationships, which, for better or worse, have still shown you, like, an aspect of what relationships are, as opposed to if I'm someone, a girl whose parents went through a nasty divorce, parents hate each other, have no communication, or they're constantly were fighting in front of, you can definitely tell that because of how they choose to pick and choose their battle, simply. There was a girl I dated a few years ago who, she was very much a victim of, like, some light domestic violence, as well as just her parents arguing all the time. And it definitely rubbed off on her because she was always picking arguments and fights with me over the pettiest, smallest, littlest things. So I think that, you know, you can kind of tell, and even in communication and conversation with someone, you can understand a little more what their family background is. You know what I'm saying?
I have a question for y'all, the men. Because if we're talking about marriage, before marriage, we got to think about the dating aspect.
Right.
So when we're thinking about courtship, what is marriage actually, or not marriage, what is dating and courtship look like for millennial men?
Well, you know, I think it depends on what you're trying to go into it as your game plan being. So, you know, you can go into it with, I'm just here for Netflix and chill, you know what I'm saying? I got that 4K. Or
that's just the FWB at that point.
It took me a minute.
Look, listen. It's a cutty, buddy. Or you can go into it as, hey, this might be something that's a new experience, a new relationship to start. Or you can be like, damn, this person is amazing. I've seen everything I need to know about them. I'm just here for the pleasantries, you know what I'm saying?
So what do y'all do for first dates?
Just take them out to a nice little fire spot downtown.
What's a what spot?
A little fire, a little restaurant, a little, downtown. Okay. But that's not like, you know, just the aesthetics of one, and that's not the end all be all to that. You know, of course I'm gonna have that because, you know, especially like making the first impressions, you know, I'm gonna pull out, you know, pop out, you know what I'm saying? Like,
now, is this only for certain women?
Me personally, just me being me, that's always how I'm gonna play it. But just with that, you know, we're going to go to a nice little restaurant, you know, have a nice little meal. But with that, I want to be able to have a real sit down with you and to actually be able to pick your brain and just to see where you at mentally. And then we're going to go from there in terms of, oh, am I going to continue to try to see if you were worth my time or not?
Or you're just going to smash.
I mean, the thing is, though, if it's on shit like that, we ain't doing all that shit. Fuck that.
But no money gets spent.
We only at the crib.
Now, what are...
yeah, Hulu and Hangout.
Yeah, now, question, as far as dating goes, do you guys feel like... Or, I mean, I don't even know how you guys' experiences are, but are you okay with dating multiple people at one time, or do you like to take it one as they come and then, you know, put the time to that? How do you go about that?
Especially me being single right now, I like being able to evaluate my options. Like, say, you know, if I got, like, you know, a couple girls that I'm interested in. Well, I shouldn't say girl, women. Because, you know,
I
ain't fucking little girls, you know what I'm saying?
I was praying that they weren't about to come after you.
At least 18 and up. And listen, there's a difference between a woman, a girl, a female, and a hoe.
Yeah.
You gotta understand, you can't just use them intertwined.
You're right. But, like, just like with me, I like, again, just being able to. Well, actually, no, I forgot, because I was about to go off track with just like the topic that we were discussing, but just with with the courtship and all that.
Speak your mind.
Just being able to have my options and to be able to evaluate, okay, this person's like this, this person like this, but this one's like that. You know, what's going to be the best option for me? And then if I were to decide, okay, this is the one that I call myself trying to give all my attention to, then any other little flings I'm messing with, I'm cutting them loose, because at that point, my undivided attention, I'm going to want and need to have that on you, only you. But until we to the point to where, okay, like, we're going to be exclusive, you know,
ride it to the wheels fall off.
Because you're not working towards marriage. You just want to keep your attention.
He's trying to work towards Netflix and chill.
Well, I know. At the same time, I feel like it comes like along with where you're at in life. Like, yeah. if we would have had this conversation being like 18, 19, it definitely would have been, I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And a special one for the weekend.
Nah, you gotta take Sunday off.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Of course. But I feel like now, with the mindset we have after being in a few relationships, that we recognize that it's definitely it's not out here just to be playing games anymore, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, definitely, you know, I'm 25, so I still have about five good years, yeah, where I'm trying to do me and focus on, you know, really growing and building. But at the same time, finding someone who has similar aspirations and working towards our goals together, that'd be very dope. So, you know, I think it's really just that mindset thing, you know.
Now, it's an interesting point that you say that you just want to do you. You know, you got 5 years left. And when you really think about it, especially at 25, time goes so quick, because you'll be looking at 30 tomorrow. And
maybe next week tomorrow.
You know, maybe next week tomorrow. But regardless, time really goes by quick. And I think with a lot of guys that are in that mindset is that, you know, that they want to just do them, you know, and build off of that. Do you think that if you were to meet the right girl that coming in, do you think that it would be hard for you to kind of evaluate to kind of, you know, let that lifestyle go?
Absolutely not. I can answer that for
that's a big old nah. Because, you know, I think that, you know, if you truly have found that connection and like you found someone that's willing to rock with you and you have those similar goals in mind, it should be a no brainer at that point. You know, one conversation I've been having, you know, recently a friend of mine, you know, one of my best friends has kind of found like the love of his life, you know.
Being Will.
Yeah. Shouts out to you Pellegrino boys all day. But, you know, he recently has found the love of his life. And I realized that at some point we're all going to stop hanging out with like our best friends, and your significant other becomes like your best friend. You know what I'm saying?
And they should.
Exactly. And so when you get to that point of where like your best friend is your partner, then like why would I want to go and like not like spend time and do all this other shit, and we can grow collectively you know, as a couple. But I think that it takes some time to get to that point, and that's where the troublesome realm of like dating comes into play.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to navigate to that point. But you know, I feel like once you know, unless there's like other extenuating circumstances surrounding that.
Now the golden question, because I feel like this particular topic, you know, is very circumstantial. How long do you hold out for sex with somebody that you're?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, it can go two different ways. And I played it different ways when I was younger. So, before it used to be like, you know, we fucking. You know what I'm saying? I'm not lying.
There ain't no Netflix. It's just the chill no Netflix.
I'm going to have some light music on, maybe some incense, some candles to set the mood.
Oh, you like to set the mood.
I like
okay.
to set the mood. That's okay. the topic I am.
But Brian is a smooth operator, bro.
Yeah, smooth operator.
That finesse.
Right, but at the same time, though, you know, now.
Marvin Gaye.
But at the same time, though, you know, I've realized that. And once again, when I was younger, I used to kind of play the game like, oh, no, like, maybe we should wait. No. I want to take our time with this.
Do us a mind game.
Yeah, basically, it's a mind fuck. At the end of the day, it's all pleasure. But as I've gotten older, I realized that it's very important to be able to build that connection and build that bond. Because when you do finally go to lay down, it makes the relationship all that much better. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like the icing on the cake to it, to where, like, you've gone through and, you know, ins and outs of this person. And then... You know, had the ins and outs, you know what I'm saying? So it just makes it that much better, you know.
But do you feel like, say, most of the male perspectives that I have, they tend to, you know, open that door up a little sooner than later?
Time policy.
Yeah. Do you feel like introducing sex into the equation complicates things?
I think it depends on what you consider sex, first off.
What do you mean sex? Intercourse.
What do you mean? Oral, vaginal, anal,
anybody into your personal area. Do you feel like that complicates the situation? Because I'll even just off of personal experience, because I've had it on the flip side where, you know, we can introduce sex within that first week and, you know, we have an understanding that that's all that is. But then I've also had it on the flip side where we have sex and that person feels like, all right, you the bae, I'm ready for you to meet mom. You know, like, do you feel like...
Laying it down.
Do you feel like that really plays a major part in whether you guys
I think it depends on the ultimate connection that you have with that person. Because, you know, just from my own personal experiences, you can have sex very quickly and it could be really good, but you can only do so many things in a short amount of time and be like, man, I'm thinking about the next, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you've got that deeper level of like emotional connection with someone and you're actually really enjoying being around them, that when you do go to do that, you're like, damn. And you start what we like to call laying in it, you know what I'm saying?
Where you're just like, laying in it.
Yeah, this is
what's
where you're
the
like,
laying in it?
Like, I'm home, you know what I'm saying?
Deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna call the post office. I'm gonna change my address, you know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing, too, because as a woman, I've had the opposite experience as Tay, and Tay is my best friend. So for me, I lost my virginity to my boyfriend, and we didn't have sex until probably a good year and a half into the whole situation. So in terms of sex for me, I've only had one sexual partner, and that was enough for me, just simply on the aspect of we had the ability to build that emotional connection. So when it came down to sex as the first time for me, pain didn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, it was that connection because we built that emotional bond first.
Mm-hmm. And for me to chime in on this little topic, with me personally, when I've had my situations to where this the sex is introduced right off the top, that's because that person is just someone to where we just like are linking up just FWB. Specifically for this. But like, I can have it to where if you a woman who I'm naturally vibing with, connecting with, you know, we share similar goals, similar aspirations. I don't necessarily need the sex, like even though like, this shit lit, but just when I'm able to vibe with a woman on a deeper level, I don't necessarily need that because I enjoy just being able, you know, just have just real talks, being able to pick, yeah, just picking your brain, trying to see where you're going in life, you know, seeing if, you know, if there's any way I could be an asset to that, and then just how we could overall try to build each other up, and just it not just being just about, oh, we linking up just okay. The fuck, and that's it.
What are your thoughts on sex before marriage or waiting to have sex until marriage?
I would say it's all.
I mean, I know you don't believe in marriage. We hoping to change that.
And to rephrase that, I wouldn't necessarily say I don't believe in marriage. It's just I'm real skeptical.
Cautious.
Yeah, cautious. That's the best word. You just real just cautious on it based on
if you found the right woman, how it would work.
Yeah, that just me. Just I haven't found the right one in my life just yet, so like I wouldn't necessarily be able to relate like some other people could. But if you're a woman who I can vibe with on that deeper level, I don't necessarily need to be having sex with you all the time and for us to be able to kick it, like just being able to talk to you and just talk about some real shit, like that's all I need.
So y'all meet, y'all date for 2 years, you get engaged, you may not get married for another year, so we talking about 3-4 years without sex. Is that something possible?
I'm thinking we're going to Vegas, you know what I'm saying?
So you said immediate marriage.
No. All jokes aside, I definitely, you know, it's too late for me to reverse it, but I definitely did contemplate no sex until marriage, because I think that being able to build that foundation and then once again just throw that on there, you know, I see some value behind that. But at the same time, what if you go through all of that and you have no type of compatibility with your partner, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that shit ain't fire.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be with them for the rest of your life.
What if on the flip side,
say if everything is going great with vibes and everything, but the sex was trash, what do you do?
Can you stay? Do you stay?
I think I
hell
would
hell to the no. To the no, no, no.
I don't know. It's a tough one. I feel like I would maybe seek some marriage counseling and be like, listen, maybe.
You get marriage counseling off sex?
You like, there's sex counselors. Yeah. Like, there's sexologists. It's a real career.
Yeah. But I think that really just plays on down to intimacy and how you guys, you know, relate in that aspect. Because when you're really intertwined with somebody and you really have that connection, you're willing to
try.
Make the broken pieces work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can grow into a sex relationship that pleases both of you guys.
Are you willing to teach her, though? If she can't do it the way that you... But see, here's the thing. Yeah. And I think this is a problem, too. You're both...
You're cheesing.
But you're both entering into a relationship with a different level of sexual experience. So, say, for instance, she only had 2 or 3 sexual partners and you didn't have, you know, about 0.0008% of the world's population.
That's a lot.
I'm not saying that was his body count, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Are you willing to teach her?
Yeah, I think if I had that many bodies underneath my belt, I think I would have probably wrote a book.
Made some money.
Yeah, I'd have definitely made some money on
TED
that.
TED Talk.
Yeah, this is what you do. No, but in that situation, I definitely think yes. Because, you know, if you've got a little bit more expertise, a little more knowledge under your belt, this person, you're probably going to open their eyes up to a whole bunch of other, you know, different things, you know. So I definitely think that. You know, would be more than okay to, educate, you know what I'm saying?
Duh, because you over here.
You said an automatic no.
No, but like, no, like real shit to keep it a butt. When I was in.
To keep it a butt?
Yeah, keep it 100 pennies.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
But no, like before my previous relationship with my ex, I wasn't necessarily too well versed in the
sexual realm
and in the sex world. Like, I lost my virginity at 15, but after that, I only had like messed around with like a couple of women after that. And when I hopped in my relationship, I ain't gonna lie, like I wasn't like when I at the gate, I wasn't I was right at the gate, and I wasn't laying that shit down. Like how I should have been. But over time, being that my ex and I we had the type of connection that we had, you know, we were still able to, you know, just to keep seeing each other, keep, you know, being able to do what we was doing. And over time,
you start laying down that pipe.
I was laying that shit down.
Now, to whose standards? Is that just from your perspective, or is that what was relayed?
Because women fake orgies.
I broke her bed.
Orgies?
No.
That's some crazy shit to fake.
No.
Orgasm.
I got it. No cap.
I mean, it's possible too, and nice. they pass history.
No cap. No, there's one instance. No, we was going so strong, fucking bread her bed broke. Like
that means you was laying it down, right?
Enough confirmation, man.
I'm sorry.
I can't have y'all
that's
come for my bed.
That's not confirmation
like this,
for me, you know, because that just means you was just doing too much. Because if you break my bed, we got some issues. Okay. We got some issues.
The bed ain't gonna break if you ain't going crazy in that shit, though. If you just on some light throw shit, man.
A lot of guys feel like for sex to feel good, it has to be crazy. And a lot of people, a lot of guys miss the key point.
Usher, nice and slow.
You know, it is not even nice and slow, but in that right spot. They figure they find their spot.
And then they forget about the woman.
It's like when sex is over for guys, the sex is over. And that's for a good minute until I had my first orgasm. And mind you, I had my first orgasm 8 years after I lost my virginity. So I haven't.
Damn.
I need to chime in right now.
Go ahead.
Dog, you can't. The shit ain't done. To your girl gets her off first, like, period. Like,
I agree. Me personally,
if I finish and she would never get hers first, I feel like I didn't do my job. Like that's just
y'all look at sex as like as work. Y'all
and
always trying to achieve a certain goal. It's a certain level that y'all have to achieve as men in sex, and it's not even
new
the case.
Levels to unlock, and you just take your time
exactly.
with it. You
rush to unlock levels, and we supposed to be together for the next 50, 70 plus years. We got a lot of time to unlock these levels, so let's take that process slow. Because if you unlock everything in the first 10 years,
breaking beds,
what we
got to
look forward to? That was supposed to be 20 years down the line.
About to keep breaking beds every other night.
Kids yet. Like, yeah. This is some stuff you ain't even trying to have kids yet.
I mean, like, that'd be wild. That's like a
I made you breaking this bed.
Yeah. Your mom is
it's not even like and then with that particular situation, like my ex-partner was telling me that I needed to be on some shit like that. It's just over time my sexual experience grew with having one consistent partner for so long, mm-hmm. and then just my experience got up to the point to where I'm fucking beds up now. That's how crazy.
You keep going back to bed.
So clearly, you like the you don't care about people's property.
Okay, shit. Fuck
now,
them.
Okay. So when we're looking at sex, relationships, and things like that, how do you feel like social media has played?
It's fucking the game up, like I said earlier.
But like, you know, we were talking about earlier, you know, the fact of hashtag relationship goals and, you know, seeing all of these happy relationships and that's people having matching cars and matching shoes and matching homes. Like,
I'm glad we're back on that point though, because I wanted to make this point just with having a strong relationship, you know, like how like you see all these hashtag relationship goals and shit on IG and whatnot. You see all like the happy times and whatnot. If they're in a real relationship, a strong relationship, they got some bullshit going on behind the scenes. They've had some bullshit going on behind the scenes. Just you not seeing that, because of course you ain't about to throw this. Well, some people gonna throw it, like, put all their business out on the ground or whatnot. But for the most part, you're not gonna see all the bad times on social media. You only gonna see the good times. But if you're in a real relationship and y'all are truly going together, y'all gonna have to have those hardships and whatnot that y'all make it through to build y'all into better people and overall build the relationship to be strong like it should, like it needs to be.
I feel like anyway, if you that happy, I'm not caught up on what people see.
You ain't got time to be posting your relationship.
I don't have time to debut every single happy moment in our life. If I'm in a moment and me and my man, if we out on vacation, like I can go out on vacation and not take any pictures and just really soak up the experience that we're in and just have those memories. Like we could have, you know, I like to take the little pictures that they give, you know, at the wherever we at,
the
you know,
resort action,
you know, the little resort action. Yeah. I'm okay with those pictures, but I'm not going to stop every 5 seconds and okay, let's take this picture. Let me post.
That's
I'm
not corny as
because
fuck.
It takes yeah. away from the experience. Because I gotta real, let me make sure this picture is good. That this is the picture that's going to get the most likes. I'm not caught up in all of that. Like I've been on a
that
social media
so
hiatus
corny,
for.
Dog.
About a good month now, and when I tell you, like my whole world, it was like my whole world was kind of like loud background noise. Like I had everyone's problems, issues, happy times, low times, all in the palm of my hands. And it was like I was so tired of seeing the same thing because honestly, nothing changed in anyone's mm-hmm. lives. And it was like I can't keep keep getting caught up in that background noise. I had to shut it off. And so, you know, after a certain while, I took, you know, a couple of weeks of not being on social media. So when I did go on, it was like I wasn't even interested in scrolling through my timeline because it's like y'all still talking about the same things that y'all were talking about last month. So if you don't see that, you know, that rotation of, okay, ain't nothing changing in my life, I feel like don't document that. You know what I'm saying? People will put out their business out there and they'd be upset when someone has a comment on, well, maybe you should change. Like I said before, the truth only hurts when there's a demand for change. So your feelings only gonna get hurt when you know that something needs to change, but you're not willing to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. That's definitely when you say that, it really resonates because I feel like a lot of people really need to kind of take that in and really marinate on that. But, you know, as we're starting to wrap things up a little bit, ladies, I want to kind of give y'all the floor because as young men, millennials here, I'm curious what y'all might give the fellas as far as dating tips or advice in the 21st century.
I would say that courtship needs to be real. You need to court a woman. Although most women that are millennials, they want to be this strong black woman or, you know, whatever race you are, and portray this strong personality. But women want to be catered to and they want to feel like a woman. We don't want to have to be a man 24/7 because we grew up in a society to where it forces us to be hard or to have to be strong all the time. Allow your woman to be weak. Be the captain and actually show her, you know, the feminine aspects of you in terms of being emotional and showing her that you actually care. I think that you need to actually date someone and not just, you know, fuck or just have a relationship for the sake of social media and have great communication. I would say those are the biggest things.
For me, I would say don't follow what somebody else has done, whatever has worked out for somebody else, because it's not going to necessarily work out for you. Be you, be the quirky you, because like I said before, I'm not one to be bought. I don't care what your 15-year plan is. I want to know who you are when you're done taking care of that 15-year plan. You know what I'm saying? It's go with what feels right to you. And, you know, if you got some embarrassing aspects, show that. You know what I'm saying? If she can't handle that, and if
she ain't worth it.
She's not worth it, because if you can't see me at my, you know, at my quirky stage, or if I can't be myself around you, I don't see a life with you. And if I can't feel comfortable enough to allow you to know every aspect of who I am, that we can't go anywhere. Because when you're in a situation with somebody for a long amount of time, you're going to see that regardless. And if you can't handle that, and if you act a certain way towards that, then I don't see how, you know, you can progress to be anything else.
And I got $1 million question. Right. It's a yes and no question. When y'all break up with somebody, do y'all delete all of the pictures off of your social media?
Yeah.
I don't.
Off the phone. How about the phone?
The phone, yes. Social media, no.
Off the phone, I might keep those. Some good memories.
You keep it on the phone.
Yeah, some good memories. Okay. But social media, yeah, 86 that.
See, like, no, like, I took all this shit off social media. And, like, I had it on my phone for a little bit. But then it started getting to the point to where...
You was reminiscing. You would get drunk and then look at them and be like, I wish this
was... What are you drinking? That moonshine, 1800. What else you got in that cup?
It's 1800. Moonshine and Jack in my cup.
Oh yeah, he's tripping.
That's what I'm death. Well, yo, with the final closing seconds, want to just give some shouts out. Shouts out to Podcast Detroit for putting us up. Shouts out to Pellegrino because it's delicious, and also shouts out to Chipotle because I'm trying to get that unlimited burrito card.
Oh, hey, if we out to dinner and you all up in your phone and anybody talk about no money or no one close to you is dying.
Get off your phone.
Get off that bitch or I'm sliding and you paying for this dinner.
And real shout out to Stay Detroit. Definitely get the tease.
Hashtag Stay Detroit, StayDetroit.net. Shot with me.